Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. I'm Greg Caponia, your host, and this evening we have Tony Iannelli. Tony is, of course, the president and CEO of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Tony, first of all, we've been doing this program now on every Main Street for, about 6 months. I want to thank you very much for giving us access to the crew and all the members of on your Main Streets. How many Main Streets are there?
Well, we're probably now, I think, 27 different Main Streets that we're located on. But I just want to say to you, likewise, it's been great for us in terms of the audience that you bring to us because, as we've talked about, chambers are different today. As much as, you know, in the past it was all about economics.
Right.
And today it certainly is, but it's also about community. And we always say we're becoming as much a chamber of communities as we are a chamber of commerce. We got to impact communities. So thank you, and thank you to WDIY.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Let's talk about regionalism and how this all evolved. You now operate what I believe is the fifth largest chamber group in the country. I don't think a lot of people know that. I mean, this is a very powerful and influential and terrific organization.
Yeah, and I think it's only because we've all come together. So, before there were 17 different chambers running around this valley and three large, primarily Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. And so they would have events. Maybe we'd have an economic outlook event in Allentown forecast on, January 3rd, and 2 weeks later to have the same event in Bethlehem. And I think, the business community finally started to say there's a lot of redundancy. Let's come together and let's see what we can do as a valley-wide entity, because the history in the valley is Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton were very separate in the past. And now we're more and more every day treated as the Lehigh Valley. Our identity is more and more the Lehigh Valley.
Is it important to be large in the eyes of the United States community?
Well, I think that's of the United States community, yes, I think it is, because you get obviously get attention when you have this kind of size. And I think when we want to bring in, whether it's governors or senators or whomever, you get some attention based on that growth, the amount of people you can expose certain political figures or whomever. So that helps on the national level. I think locally, again, we're valley-wide, and I think that businesses are now doing business across the valley. So you and I talked earlier, and you had, I think, posed a great question. It is, you have to be good. You can be big,
right,
but you better be good,
sure,
too.
You better deliver. Over the past 6 months, we've been talking with members of your staff. Public policy is one area that I found to be incredibly interesting, and your access to information for members of the board of the chamber about things that are evolving and happening in the state. What's going on in Harrisburg, and what does this mean to us in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, I think chambers traditionally, so first and foremost, to your point, we want to have an agenda that's pro-business. But I think that we try to balance that with being realistic in terms of, I think in past chambers of commerce were, no arms folded on anything that might speak to taxes or maybe an example was when it came to minimum wage, we were supported a gradual, not from $7.50 to $15, but a gradual increase that business could plan for. But we were, open to an increase because we felt that was, given the new economics and how long it's been at that number. So that didn't make everybody happy, but we try to do something that will be practical and make the majority.
What I thought was interesting is that there's two sides to the wage increase. And while everybody wants to make more money, the implications that even for the person who receives the wage increase, it could inadvertently take them out of some programs that they may qualify for if they make just a little bit more money. So all of a sudden, if you're getting some assistance with daycare, you may have crossed the line. And the net gain is actually a loss. That's something that I never thought of, and that's why these shows are important. I think it's why it's important for the Lehigh Valley Chamber to get out in front of
these thought processes and educate the community. And I salute you for educating the community like this, because I like doing the show because I learn something new every time we do it.
Yeah, that's one of the miracles of this. You know, you talk to a lot of people, and you, as you just said, you learn something new. I think when you bring up a really good point, and I think that's one of the things that I think about, maybe that's a little different from a chamber's perspective, and that is, I feel like there's, if you're very wealthy, let's take college, for instance. Very wealthy,
right.
You can afford college. If you're poor, you typically have a program of some sort of aid. And I don't want to minimize that, but the people I worry about are the middle class. You know, if you're stuck in that, then you gotta make serious loans and go it yourself. And so that's why I try to be open to anything that might bolster our middle class, because I think they've been so important to our past and will be for our future.
One of the questions I get asked, because I have a lot of friends in the chamber world around the country, and they will ask me, how do you lean politically? And the answer that I give is that I don't see any leanings in the Greater Lehigh Chamber. It's a very pragmatic group. And you seem to be very business focused, but I have no idea whether you guys are where you lean. And I once again salute you on this, because you know, you're just pro community, pro business. Is it difficult to stay out of politics?
Well, I think it's difficult to find that. I don't even know if it's difficult. It's something I try to work on, to find that, you know, that middle ground without being wimpy, you know.
Right.
So there are certain things that I think we should be jumping in on, and jumping in on in a big way, that I think will affect business and will affect the economy and will affect the middle class. But I do try to keep in mind that, as I said, I think the old school of chambers was a very pro-business agenda, arms folded. You know, I could almost predict the position they were going to take almost in every particular case. So I try to be more of a hybrid, and that is, again, that we're open to what you would say both sides politically, both agendas, but we're a business organization. You know, we, as you know, we have a LGBTQ organization with this, or the Women's Business Council, or any of our diversity councils that we want to be cognizant. But at the same time, our first and foremost, we're a business organization. So trying to juggle that sometimes gets interesting. But I think our staff really, we got a good mix of, you know, people on the left, people on the right, and try to find that sweet spot.
Yeah, the diversity in your staff is incredible. And going through these, doing these interviews has been a real fun. I mean, I've learned a lot about some of the people and some of their experiences that they've had, and they've been able to share some outstanding information. What is there that you don't, if there's one thing that people don't understand about what the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber does, what would you like to say?
Wow. I think in general, people have a general idea. I think, I'll put it this way. I think this new generationally, I think we need to do a better job of making sure that particularly, and I hate to overuse this millennial word, but, you know, what our function is, why we're relevant. Hey, you know this as well as anyone, and I think doing these shows is an example of your creativity, and that is that it's hard in this 21st century to be relevant. You better be forward thinking, or you won't have a spot. So the question is, what will be important to this next generation in the 21st century that will make chambers relevant? And it's not going to be the way they used to operate. You know, it's not going to be a membership fee and we'll do the best we can. I think people want to come together. We find surprisingly people still want that I don't want to overstate this and sound like an old guy, but they still want face-to-face stuff. You know, our events do extremely well. So I think to answer your question, we have to make sure that we're re-educating a new universe about what chambers are and how relevant they can be and should be.
I think the chamber is probably something different to different people based on what they need.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And again, back to when I got here, 80% of our membership was on dues, 20% non-dues. Now it's totally inverted. So the question now is, to a business, what can we do? You know, how can we bring value? And a growing portion is our nonprofit council, for example. You know, in the past, this was a pro-business organization.
Right.
And now our nonprofit group is amazingly and growing quickly. And these are people handling real budgets, you know, but millions and millions of dollars.
Hey, nonprofit's a business.
Yep. You know that.
Well, you know, people think you're a nonprofit, you know, your goal is to break even. Your goal is also to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And we work every day to pay our bills.
You know, you have good people here that have been here a long time. You know. Compensate them, you know, accordingly. And you know the numbers in the private sector can be some of these companies real good. And you've got that's your competition today, especially with 3%, 4% unemployment. You better be able to compensate good people or they're not going to be around very long.
I was at Rotary a couple weeks ago, and there was a pitch for a nonprofit going on there. And one of the community leaders looked at me. He said, you know, the world is run by nonprofits. And I said, you know, when you put it that way, there's a lot of good people who want to donate a lot of good time and not be compensated for it because they get something back. They feel like there's a real investment in their community. It's not they view it as almost their contribution in addition to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, taxes are an investment in your community. We always like to complain that it's too high, but you know, no taxes, no roads.
You've got it.
You're right?
Yeah. I recently was doing a debate, and I said, that was the Allentown debate, and I said, posed one of the questions. So if the particular candidate was for no taxes, given the state of the infrastructure in all our cities, never mind Allentown, every city in the northeast of this country has, you know, old piping, and whether it's gas, whether it's water, sewer, that needs to be reinvested. You know, how do you find the money to do that? You better be creative.
There's a lot of challenges facing communities like ours. You're seeing communities where big business has left and you know, while we like to think that we're unique in the Lehigh Valley and lost a big business 20, 25 years ago, it's going on in the Rust Belt communities everywhere. And so then you have some infrastructure problems like somebody like Flint, Michigan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have known that, you know, General Motors, for example, put so much money into the community that they could keep the water system purified? You know, people don't think of that. The Lehigh Valley has done a very nice job adjusting to its future.
Yeah.
Can you give me one big area that you see the Lehigh Valley concentrating on in the future?
Well, quick to touch on that point. So I've been around this for a long time, and I've seen us when we're down. You know, and I hate to reference the Billy Joel song, but it kind of epitomized when we were down, you know, closing the factories.
Right.
And it was tough. And, you know, but we kept hanging in, kept pushing and pushing with a lot of great leadership, both private and public. And now we are here today. So we have, I certainly don't get any credit for this. We've diversified in terms of our economic base. So when we lost Bethlehem Steel or when Mack Truck left, but now have come back. We've diversified that employment base and that economic base, and I think I'm shocked to tell you the truth. Our airport was down,
right?
And really, they were on 7 days cash left, and now it couldn't be any better. So, some ways I think we're life's a little bit of luck, and I think we were at the right place at the right time.
I when I took this job, actually about a year ago now.
Uh-huh.
People said, wow, Allentown, as then where they're tearing all the factories down. I said, you know, after being here for a year, that song really was sort of a call to action, I think. And the community responded in a very positive way. They cared enough about the community to invest time and effort to make things change. And so it may have not been a negative thing. It may have just opened everybody's eyes and everybody could see the future of this area with their wise eye. Everybody could see the future of this area with their eyes wide open. We're going to take a quick break here, Tony. You're listening to On Every Main Street, and I am your host, Greg Caponia.
For support of WDIY, we thank Mike Gosling, the Air Products Foundation, the Frederick H. Bedford Jr. and Margaret S. Bedford Charitable Foundation, the Century Fund, and the Charles H. Hoke Foundation.
Good evening, and welcome back to On Every Main Street. I'm Greg Caponia, and this evening we have Tony Iannelli, of course, the president and CEO of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Tony.
Okay, how did I get here?
Yeah. Hey, when you look back, when you reflect on your tenure at the chamber, what are you most proud of?
I would say by far the coalition of the bringing everyone together. And I think, first of all, I so lucked out just to get this job. And I had no idea what I was doing in the beginning. And really, I used to think, when are they going to fire me? But I think that was it. I really love people. So we would go into varying communities and try and find out. It started with really small chambers, Western Lehigh Business Group. Yeah. What do they want? What can we offer? So to answer your question, I think it was the coalescing, the bringing together of the chambers that made us who we are, this valley-wide organization, a chance to celebrate the valley. So I think by far that's probably the thing I'm most proud of. And maybe building, by accident almost, a really good core staff who have been here a long time, who are totally, totally dedicated to what they do, and the expectations are high.
How many individual chambers are there out there that might be able to benefit from what you offer?
Well, I will. They're down to really one, and that is the Nazareth Area Chamber was the only chamber to date that hasn't joined with us. Allentown, Bethlehem East, and Phillipsburg, Pocono Chamber, Carbon Chamber, and Emmaus, and I could go on and on. That's the singular chamber that remains. We've had a really good discussion with them most recently, so we're hoping and keeping our fingers crossed. But, our futures are going to hang on that. It would just be nice to say, finally, we're all together in this thing.
Yeah, we've had the mayor of Phillipsburg on, and that's pretty interesting because they're not even in the state.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's very, very supportive and cooperative. So, getting back to what we were talking about, the public and private partnerships that exist today and how important they are. Because when a community take it, whether it be Bethlehem, Phillipsburg, whatever, the mayor could easily say, wait, we have a chamber that's focused on my city. My town. I don't want to give that chamber up. So that was really, took a long time to do that, but we were able to do it, and I thank God for that. So that's why we're bottom up. Each community has its own board, each organization. They set the agenda, we facilitate.
Tony, is a business advocacy group, if you could wave a magic wand and supply the Lehigh Valley with anything that would help promote business, what would it be?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I think two things. On the public side, again, if we would continue to have this investment in our infrastructure, making sure that our roads are in good shape, our bridges, and again, what's underneath the ground. So these cities that are so important to us have a future given what they exist with right now. So unlimited money for capital improvements would be one. And maybe on the other side, what LVDC I think is working on now, and that is, you had talked about it when you moved here, the misnomer, what we don't understand is we're rolling. I never thought we'd have a PPL, the arena. I never thought we'd have a AAA ballpark, our casino in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. But does the rest of the universe realize how far we have come, and can we bring more people here to celebrate that success?
So maybe promotion on tourism? I know this, you're not a tourism group necessarily. You promote tourism. Of course, you always talk about it, but we have a good tourism organization in the Lehigh Valley, maybe getting the word out more?
Yeah, I think that both. I think the tourism group, which is doing very, very well, Alex and the group over there, and then what LVDC and Don Cunningham are doing, and that is bringing companies here, bringing more businesses here, which is great. That can obviously increase our employment, which we've had a good run at. But first, you have to understand, like as you said, the first, maybe you're a CEO of a company that looks at, might have some opportunity here, but tell me about this place, because what I know about it isn't in the past isn't so great.
Now, we see some of the land, like the old Ingersoll Rand areas being rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Do you see other areas in the Lehigh Valley moving toward courting businesses like that to, once again, you bring in taxes, you bring in workers? Where's the next hot spot?
Well, again, I think at LVDC, that's something they really push, and that is there aren't many brownfields left. Bethlehem Steel is a big one. Ingersoll Rand, as you mentioned, the Mack Truck facility. So you hit the nail on the head. I think developing these brownfields into productive. So one company moves out in the past, you have a new company that moves in, celebrates the new 21st century economy. So I think the brownfields are an example. And I think we're sort of running out of land. That's one of the toughest things. We really are. That's back to balancing development and quality of life.
Right.
And, we're starting to see a little bit of that when you think about what happened around the airport with FedEx and the great expansion, thank God. But what's the impact, on the community?
And they have Allegiant is moving into the area. What a nice get.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Get folks excited about the future.
I think we're really poised in an amazing way. Again, our economy's diversified. We're hanging on to a pretty good quality of life. If you want to be entertained, you can go almost, you've got it here, any act you ever want to see. Maybe some of the majors, you know, but you're not going to see maybe the Stones or something like that, or I just probably just dated myself. But anyway, but you can see a lot of entertainment here. You can find a ton of restaurants here, any kind of food you'd like. We're starting to, you know, now be much more balanced in that area. Retail, 1,000,000,001 opportunities for retail. So I think we're in a really, really good spot. I think better than we ever thought. Still affordable housing. You know, it's not cheap, but comparatively in the Northeast, we're still an affordable community.
Very affordable.
And people are finding, I cannot tell you how many people I'm meeting that I was just in an event in a 55-plus community. Can't tell you how many people were here from New Jersey, New York, that I didn't even know the place, found it a sweet spot on the map and said, that's where we're headed.
Right.
Shocked me.
Tell me a little bit about how important it is for tourism and for businesses when they come in and they see a clean community.
Look, people have a perception.
One of the first things that people say is, hey, this place is pretty clean.
Yeah, I think clean and safe are the two things you really want to push. And I was visiting recently somewhere, and I went to the front desk. Oh, you don't want to go out at night. I wouldn't do that. You know, that's not a place you're dying to come back to, you know. Yeah, there's so many components. And I think maybe one thing we could maybe get even a little better at, we've been pretty good at, making sure that the chamber knows its space and does it. LVDC knows its space and does it. Tourism, their space. Workforce Board, their space. But at the same time, I think we're pretty good at this. You know, we know who's doing what, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. But I think that's something I want to make sure we get even better at. Sometimes organizations have redundancy just to make themselves busy. And I try to say to my staff, we do community development. We don't touch economic development. There's a lot of tourism going on in Bethlehem, but that's not what we're in. That's right. Why we have the tourism group. So, you know, making sure each group knows what they're doing.
Would you say that your number one job is to interconnect businesses?
Certainly, yes. We say to improve the economy and quality of life. So, yes, first and foremost, we got to give business value. That's our members. They got to have value. I think secondarily, I've got to make sure that communities feel loved and that they're part of this, given that they've given their chamber to us in a sense. I think more recently, as we're growing, I try to spend a lot of time with staff, making sure that they understand their role in this evolving chamber and re-evolving. And again, back to with the unemployment situation that it is today, people better feel part of the organization, part of its future, or they're going to have alternatives.
Everybody's always looking for more. We no longer call them blue-collar workers, but there's a lot of jobs here that we can't fill. How do we get more technically oriented, hands-on workers?
Boy, that's a great question. If you said, what is the biggest comment I get from business, and I know this won't surprise you, we need people. We need good people. We need people that are going to show up. We need people that are going to stay on the job. We need people that are trained. So it is, especially now we're down to this, you know, again, back to this, maybe I don't want to over-mention it, but this very small group of unemployed. So I hear it so, so much. And I have been pushing, and I don't want to be an anti-college guy, but I'm saying that there are tremendous opportunities, whether it's CDL, whether you want to be a technician at an automobile dealership, carpentry, in the trades, there's tons of opportunities, and they're literally, you know, dying to have people. So that's an area that we've really got to shift, and we have met with superintendents of the different school districts, and they have said to us, we're trying, but you got to help us re-educate parents who are focused on, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, when in fact all these opportunities are waiting for them. You know, welders, $100,000 a year, CDL people, real money.
It's a problem across the United States, but it seems like it's a little bit more of one here because there's so much opportunity to build things. And as soon as people, it's important to business because if they know you have the worker base, then they're more likely to show up. Since you're here, make a pitch. Pitch to the person who might be considering moving to the Lehigh Valley. Tell us about, be that chamber guy.
Yeah, well, these are what I actually feel. Number one, what I love about this community are a couple things. It is a place where you can still do business, I say literally, on a handshake. I mean, there's a lot of honorable people in this community who have that old school, what you say you're going to do, you do. So number one, I think it's, you know, comparatively, maybe if there was some kind of graph, which there isn't, I think it's a good place to do business. There's a lot of honorable people and good people who want good for you and good for them. So that's number one. Number two, I think, again, very affordable still, but we're driving fast in terms of all this growth. So it's a good community for employees to come in, and they can make a place for themselves, an affordable place. And I think, again, the economics are good. And as I said, I love the ever-growing quality of life. We still have a good park system, a good trail system. We've got entertainment. And I went through that group before. So it's a good balance of economic growth, affordability, and quality of life.
Schools?
I think like every place in the country, I think our, particularly I think Allentown. I mean, it's a secret that that's a challenge. You know, so our suburban schools, doing great. Urban schools, not so much. And particularly, I would say Allentown is an example. And that is that it's a battle. Number one, the economics are tough. They have old buildings. It's a good point. It's probably an area where we could do a whole lot better as a community. I'm not saying the teachers have to be better, the superintendents. That's a challenge, and that everybody's going to be all in on that one. Real quick, you make me think of something. So we do have a group that's focused on economic development. We do have a group focusing on business, yeah. Business with the chamber. We do have a tourism. We do have a workforce. I think we need maybe a group that's focused on education. We used to have one, business education partnership. Uh-huh. We've got to re-energize that.
All right. Well, Tony, it's been a pleasure having you today.
I love it.
We thank you for your participation on Every Main Street, for coming up with the name.
And I'm glad you're here. I mean, you've been a real asset. You're the
Thanks,
right kind
Tony.
Of guy for this community. And besides having a lot more hair than I do,
well, you can have more if you want.
I think you're great.
I'm Greg Caponia. This is On Every Main Street. Thank you very much for listening.